You know, I talk much to you about my childhood, of how I grew up. And oftentimes I hear people tell me, "Father, your childhood must be wonderful." Yes, it was. But I also hated to be poor. Really. If I tell you, "Oh, it was all wonderful and I love poverty," I would be lying to you, right? I hated to be poor. Especially when I was growing up and I lived next to one of my schoolmates. And he had this beautiful wooden-made chessboard with all nice-looking pieces. I would always go like, "Man, I want that," right? So I, growing up poor, you always get envious of what other people have and what you don't. And for the longest time ever, that was one of the reasons why I ran away from my vocation when I came to the United States of America. I did not want to think about my vocation to the priesthood for the longest time ever, because I was always thinking in my mind, "I got to learn English, right? I got to learn English. I got to have a good education so that I can have a good job to repay my parents for all of their sacrifices that they have done for me." That's what my goal for the longest time ever. I ran away from my vocation for the longest time, that all I thought about was that to get a good job, to get a good education, so I can escape poverty. Yet, when I begin my seminary formation, one of my spiritual directors, who used to be in the Redemptorist, so I begin with the Redemptorist, and he used to tell me, "Koi, don't run away from your past. Poverty has made you who you are today. Don't run away from that." That hit me. That hit me really hard. And I began to pray, and I remembered one of the things that my grandmother used to tell me. "Koi, never, ever forget that you are poor. Because when you are poor, you will always depend on God and depend on others. Remember that you're always poor. Because when you're poor, you're always dependent on God and depend on others." And perhaps the poverty that she was talking to me about was not the poverty in materialistic sense, but the poverty of heart. Oftentimes, I have seen people who have little, but have so much pride and richness in their heart that they don't want to give any part of themselves to others. Yet I have also seen people who have grew up with little, or even grew up with much, but they have a poverty of heart that depends on God. So important today, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord did not condemn the people because of how much they give or didn't give, but he tells them that perhaps they give in order to be seen. Yet this widow, she gave because she gave from her heart. Many times I have heard people, including my mom, she's not here, so she won't yell at me, but she used to tell me, "Koi, if you would pray that I win the lottery or win a jackpot at the casino, then I would give a lot of my money to the poor." And then I told her, "Mom, you know that you are a mother of a priest. God's not going to give you the lottery nor let you win the jackpot." And then she said, "Shut up, who asked you?" You know, but we really don't need money to be charitable, because charity comes from the Latin word caritas, mean to love. When we practice charity, when we give from the bottom of our heart to one another, that's where charity begins. We can give a lot of money, without being charitable. But we don't have to give anything in order to love other people. Money is just the extension of our charity, our love for the others. If we lack that, then society will cease to exist. When we choose not to love, to justify ourselves, and to put ourselves higher than others, and only looking for honor, appreciation, then we're not doing it right. That's what the Lord was condemning. He was condemning the scribes and the Pharisees for doing things in order to get notice. They didn't really give from the bottom of their heart to the other people. Yet this widow did. And that's why he praised her. So I'm asking you today. Sometimes it saddened me a lot that I have heard the reaction of what had happened after the election. Many negative reactions of what had happened. Is that who we are? Really? Let me ask you. Is that who we are? This is not who we are. We're not political animals. We're more than that. What we disagree on with politics should never, ever stop us from loving one another. Never. If we allow politics to divide us and turn us against one another, then it's not true love. My brothers and sisters, we're more than that. It begins with charity, because God is love. In Latin, it's Deus Caritas Est. God is love. The essence, the substance of God is love itself. Love is not a quality of God. Love is God's own existence. It's who He is. And if He has created us, and if we bear His image and likeness, then we have the ability to love. So how do we change society? Love radically, beyond the differences. If you and I stop short because this person we don't like, then we start to demonize them. We start to hurt them, beginning with our thoughts, then next with our words. We killed one another not with weapons, but with the tongue. Then society ceases to exist because we choose not to come together. Never, ever let our differences turn us against one another, but let our love for Christ unite us. Guess what? Unity does not equate with uniformity. Unity is found in diversity. Saint Therese of Lisieux once said, "The church is like a wonderful garden of different flowers, different shapes, different types, different colors. But yet we come together like a mosaic of different shape, different characters, different colors, differences in personality. But yet, if that stained glass windows did not have different color and different shape, it would be dull." Same thing to the church. We come together in our diversity, our differences, to be united in Christ and through Christ. We radiate Christ, even in our differences, even in the little that we have. It would be boring if all of us are pansies. If all of us are just one type of flowers. All of us should be glad that we are not like one another. That we're different. And in our differences, we complement each other. We help each other grow in holiness. So therefore, I'm challenging you and asking you, in all of the things that tell us name, that tell us we are different, and tell us to turn against one another, what do we give to one another? Who do we give to one another? And how are we practicing charity in the midst of all of that? Are we giving ourselves, or are we giving Christ? Are we giving our love, a part of who we are, in charity to one another? Or are we giving our self-justification? Are we giving condemnations, or are we giving the truth in charity with patience, with prudence, and with love? We have a choice to make, and all the choices that we make need to center in Christ Jesus. So in giving, we truly receive the blessings that we recognize that Christ hath given us since the beginning.